Hey guys, Raymond here from the Beginner Photography Podcast, and today we're talking about how shooting for free can actually make you money. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast with Raymond Hatfield, the podcast dedicated to interviewing world-class photographers to ask them the questions you want answered. Whether you want to be the world's best wedding photographer, family photographer, pet photographer, or you just want to take better photos of your kids growing up, we will get you to start taking better photos today. Here with you as always, husband, father, home brewer, LA Dodgers fan, and award-winning Indianapolis wedding photographer, Raymond Hatfield.
Hey guys, thank you so much for joining me this week on the Beginner Photography Podcast. I am Raymond. I'm your host as always. And today is going to be a fun episode that I think you guys are going to get a lot of good info out of, as it's one of the things that a lot of quote-unquote professional photographers say is ruining the industry. But as you'll hear in the interview, Matt and I have a completely different take on it. So we'll get into that in just a second. You might see that I'm wearing my Dodgers hat right now if you're watching this on YouTube, and that is for three reasons. The first one being I love the Dodgers, as you could tell from my intro. The second one being now it is officially October, which means that it is postseason time, and I'm not sure how the Dodgers are going to do. This whole season has been quite a wild ride, but we're currently in first, and that's all that I care about right here, right now. But the third reason why I'm wearing my Dodgers hat today is because I hope that you have been listening long enough to remember the interview with Vincent Puglisi, who is a sports photographer. He has shot every major sporting event in America, from the Super Bowl, the World Series, the Final Four in basketball. He shot the Stanley Cup. I mean, he shot it all, everything here in America. This guy is known for his sports photography. And again, if you remember from his interview, he was talking about how he had just started to partner up with Schultz Photography to make a course just for parents of kids who are in sports to want to take better photos of their kids playing sports. And it is live. If just a fraction of a single percentage of Vinny's experience you pick up from this course, you're going to be amazed and blown away by how your photography is going to improve just in shooting your kids' sports photos. So if you want to check out the course, it is a long referral link, but I have a link in the show notes of the podcast, which you can find at beginnerphotographypodcast.com/podcast/071. And that's the show notes for this episode. Next, I wanted to say that I have some really fun interviews coming up that I'm excited to release. Two that I'm thinking of in particular that I've been trying to orchestrate for a while now. And they're from photographers who have a very, very, very unique outlook on photography. And it's going to be completely different than the way that you look at photography. And if you want to know who those guests are going to be, guess what? You can find out right now if you become a patron of the podcast by heading over to patreon.com/beginnerphotographypodcast. Becoming a patron of the podcast is going to offer you quite a few things. Obviously, direct access to me. One thing that I'm really excited for, like I just mentioned, is you're going to be able to find out who future guests are going to be so that you can ask the questions that matter to you. Trust me, you don't want to pass this up, hear the interviews, and think, oh man, I wish that I could just ask this one question, and if I would have just became a patron of the podcast last week, I would have been able to. So go ahead and head over to patreon.com/beginnerphotographypodcast and become a patron today. That's it. Let's go ahead and get into today's episode, interview, bar side, chat, whatever we're going to call these, with Matt Giroin. Yeah. So, you know, in the past, we've had, like, some beers and stuff.
Yeah, I got coffee.
Yeah, you have coffee today. Well, you're not going to believe what I'm drinking today.
I'm going to go with a 20-year-old scotch.
You ready for this? No, it's a beer. Wait, just listen for it. Tell me if you can tell by...
Okay. So it kind of sounds like a tall boy IPA of some sort.
It's definitely a tall boy.
Okay.
I'll tell you that the can is red.
Uh-huh.
It's white.
And red and white? Blue. Red, white, and blue. Man, I don't know. Budweiser came out with a lot of red, white, and blue cans.
It says America on it.
So it was.
You nailed it, man. That's exactly what it
Yeah.
is. Yeah, to tell you the truth, I don't think that there is any beer better than Budweiser for cooking.
Oh,
I think
I
when
don't need
cooking with beer,
for that.
yeah,
I
when
don't.
cooking with beer, like I really like, especially like meat, I don't think that there's any beer better because
Really? Have you tried other like
I have. I've tried a lot and everything is like way too overpowering. Like I feel like
Especially if you're using like an IPA or something like that, that's super heavy.
right, and that's
You should
typically
try
like what I
Guinness.
have.
I've heard Guinness is really good.
Yeah, I just hate Guinness in general,
Oh,
so
really?
like yeah, I wouldn't want to cook with it. Like every once in a while, I like to have a Budweiser just to
Appreciate the IPAs and stuff even more.
exactly, yeah, like just reset the tongue and be like, "Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. This is what this tastes like."
That's funny.
Yeah. So we're just going to go ahead and get on into this then.
Yeah, if you
Okay,
want to.
cool. Well, I've been recording, so we'll just kind of keep
Oh.
going with this. We can just go ahead and get into today's topic, which Matt, I think we've talked about before. It's kind of polarizing, right? Would you say so?
Yeah, I think it's definitely always a hot topic of discussion.
And yet, at the same
I don't
time,
see why.
I don't. I do. I see why, but I think that the people who are against it are just too old school and aren't willing to come up with new ideas to get
Yeah,
themselves new
well, I
beer.
also think some of the reasonings isn't factual.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So before we get any further, today we're talking all about shooting for free, right?
Yeah, I guess that might be helpful.
Yeah, I would assume so. We're not going to leave anybody in the dark. It's shooting for free. And I know when I first started, I did a lot of free shoots. And I remember talking with you, like that's really how you got your start, right?
Yeah, that's literally how I built my entire business. And I still do it. I mean, I guess I go into more detail on that later on, but yeah.
Well, okay, then why don't you tell me how you started your business then by giving away free shoots? I'm gonna play devil's advocate
Yeah.
here. How
All
does
right. So
free shoots make you money?
I will start out by saying that it's not necessarily free shoots, right? So, I mean, it's free in the sense that I may not be getting a monetary return on it. But it's not free because I'm getting portfolio work, I'm getting experience and other non-tangibles out of that, right? Networking and so on and so forth. So like when I started my business and like I wanted to break into weddings, you know, it's like a catch 22, you know, like you can't really get hired for weddings until you've shot a wedding. You can't
Right.
shoot weddings and you know. So essentially what I did, I mean, my very first wedding, I got hired for $600. And they essentially looked at the portfolio that I had of like portraits and stuff, which all of those were just free shoots of like practicing and stuff, you know.
Yeah. Real quick, that first wedding, you knew them? Were they friends or?
So they were friends of a friend, and
Okay,
I mean
okay.
they were just having like a real low budget wedding, which turned out to be a really badass wedding, but
Right.
it was just really low budget, you know, and they could afford a photographer. They weren't even going to have a photographer until my friend like mentioned that I was looking to get into it, you know.
So
So yeah.
then, are you saying that the free shoots of like portraits and stuff that you had done
Well,
before?
that gave me a portfolio to show
Right.
something, you know.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I don't think I could have just like said, "Hey, I want to photograph your wedding for $600 or maybe anything," if I had no photos to show at all,
Right.
you know. And I would definitely wouldn't have any experience or like any working knowledge because like when I get my camera, I literally quit my job, I quit school like 2, 3 months after owning this camera. I've never shot a photo in my entire life until owning that camera, you know. So I literally built up a portfolio in like those 3 months of just practicing in free shoots, you know.
So then how did you do that? How did like say let's take those first 3 months, you literally just did what? You told your friends that you were looking to shoot them, you
Yeah,
were
pretty much anybody like that I met, I would just tell them like, you know, hey, I'm a photographer. I'm trying to build up my portfolio. You know, like this is the type of stuff I'm trying to shoot. And people are like, all right, well, whatever, you know. So. And that's kind of how I would get those shoots, you know.
Right. So, do you think that there was any negatives to shooting for free, essentially?
I mean, I guess if you could look at it like some people might say it devalues your work and this, that, and the other, but I don't necessarily see it that way. I mean, I still do free shoots nowadays, you know.
So, wait. So, you said in the beginning that you did free shoots to build your portfolio. So now, did you kind of have like a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like you have a lot of stuff in your portfolio. Like
Yeah, it's well established for sure.
there you go, established portfolio. So why are you doing free shoots still?
It's a marketing strategy, honestly. So backtrack a little bit. Like, all right, so now I'm into weddings. I've been shooting weddings for a couple of years, and like for me, like when I first started doing the weddings, I would charge for some weddings, and then other weddings I might just do for free or like super cheap compared to like what the other ones that was charging the other ones. And really all I was trying to do is I was building up my experience, right? So like just because you can shoot something on your own doesn't mean you can go into a paid job and be able to replicate that. You know, it's a totally different experience when you're trying to go into a stressful situation and you don't control any of the variables, like for a wedding, for instance, you know, and like issues come up, problems come up, and you have to be able to problem solve that stuff, you know? So the only way to get good at that is to practice it and be exposed to it. So that was my number one like goal, was to get as good and fail as hard and fast as I possibly could at the beginning, because that would allow me to have a bigger portfolio, more experience, and be able to charge higher prices a lot faster than if I didn't do that, right? So like my first year, I probably averaged like $1,200 maybe for a wedding, and you know, I don't know how many I booked, but it wasn't very many. But I shot a number of them for free, and then my second year, I averaged probably around 2,300, and then my third year, I was close to 5 grand.
Wow. Okay.
Just
So it in that first year where you said that you shot some for free and some were paid for, how did you differentiate between who you would charge and who would get a
Basically,
free wedding?
I would always start out like, in the first couple, I would just do for like dirt cheap, you know. But once I kind of got to my third and fourth wedding, you know, I would charge the $1,200, and if they didn't have $1,200 or something, I might work something out that was a little bit cheaper,
Oh, I see.
or something might come up last minute, and it's like they literally don't have a budget, but I would just do it anyways, just for the experience aspect of it, you know. But that was my main goal. I mean, the entire time there was a strategic reason why I was doing all that. And even today, it's the same thing. So there's a strategic reason behind when I shoot for free or shoot cheaper than I normally would. So, just this year, for example, I shot a wedding in Hawaii because I've been looking like, well, that's how I get into destination weddings. Same way. So I did a free shoot in Puerto Rico, and I did it just for the travel expenses. So the actual photography part was free, but they paid for all my travel,
And
right?
that was your first wedding, right?
No, that was my first destination wedding.
Sorry.
But I used that to market myself as a destination wedding photographer, because now people can come to my portfolio, they see that I have some sort of experience doing destination work. They can see like blog posts about it. I can share it on social media and everything else, you know, and then start doing SEO and stuff for all the destination stuff. And then after that, I started quickly getting in and booking lots of destination work just from that one shoot. And that's kind of the same way how I got into doing like gay weddings, for example. Like, it's kind of the same idea, you know. It's a very closed community of people, and they're very untrusting. So if you don't have any kind of work that represents them, then you're not going to get hired, you know. So that's like that same way I kind of broke into that. But I mean, for that one, I actually charged, but it wasn't as much as I normally would.
So then let me ask, if you wanted to, I know that now you're really trying to do a lot more like family documentaries and stuff. Now that you do have an established portfolio and like you can prove yourself as a knowledgeable photographer who knows how to shoot, who knows the technicals, who knows how to get a great image. Would you still shoot like, I don't know, family sessions for free? Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos.
Yeah, I actually did. And it's not just about the experience and stuff either, though. It's about the networking. And some people might see this two different ways. Like some people might see, well, like if you do it for free, then their friends are going to be wanting stuff for free too, so they're not going to be willing to pay.
Right.
Or they'll just be cheap people, you know, but that's where their strategy comes in. You can't just put up an ad for like free shoots and get people off Craigslist, because those people, right, they're not going to pay. They're just bargain hunters, and all their friends are going to be bargain hunters, you know?
Right.
So for the family documentary thing, I didn't have any portfolio to show, so I did three family documentaries totally for free, but I handpicked every one of them, just like I did with like my destination weddings and everything else, and chose people that would fit a very specific kind of demographic. You know, I want them to be in a certain area. I wanted them to make a certain amount of money and all that, because at the end of the day, I need these people to be able to afford like $2,000 or $3,000 for a family documentary,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
And putting an ad on Craigslist isn't going to attract those people.
Sure.
So I just kind of start putting the word out and asking people that I knew that had like just really beautiful families, you know, and beautiful homes and like were in certain areas and stuff like that. And then handpicked the people that I specifically wanted to work with based on who they were, like their kids, what they did for work and stuff like that. And I guess in a way that seems kind of like negative, you know, because you're picking people, you know, based off.
No, you didn't say that it was a contest.
Yeah, no, not at all. But it's a very specific marketing strategy, you know, and that's just kind of the way business works, you know?
Right.
So yeah, after I did that, then I started getting a lot of interest, because I would pick people that also had like big social media followings, you know, or they were known in the community for something, you know? So then they would show that on their Facebook and like share the blog post. And then I start getting more people going and looking at that sort of thing. Like, oh, you know, you did blah, blah, blah's family and it was beautiful. So I've gotten jobs, you know, just from that, and pretty quickly too, you know?
So from those jobs that you got from that, I'm assuming that they were like family or friends of the people.
Yeah.
So
like, yeah, they've all been referrals.
Okay.
So.
And did any of them ask you like, hey, so I know they got it for free. Can we get it for free too?
Not one person. I gave them the full price and they said, okay.
And do you because think that's specifically because you targeted those people?
It is. It is because these people, they have money. They're like career people. They're like well-known in the community, you know? So yeah, they don't have the mindset of being cheap. They have the money or the disposable income, I should say.
Right.
And they value photography. They value what I do and the talent that I have, you know, and they've seen it proven with like their friends, families. And they were directly referred to me from them, you know?
So this giving away these free family sessions was not it wasn't as much to build a portfolio as it was to get into this circle of exclusive.
Yeah. That's probably a huge part of it for sure. I mean, I needed a portfolio too. I didn't have any kind of like family documented portfolio because.
But I mean, you could have went to any family. You could have went to your neighbors.
No, yeah, like
you
I totally could have. Yeah, I totally could. But it wouldn't have been effective at all.
Of course.
You know.
Yeah.
But that's the same thing with like when I got into weddings. It was very specific on, like I think for that first destination wedding, I probably got 50 people wanting me to do their weddings.
Wow.
You know, and I chose one, very specific one because of the location. You know, because I wanted something that looked very kind of exotic, beachy, and what people think ideally of a destination wedding.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of how I did that. But even today, you know, like this year, I actually did a wedding in Hawaii for the exact same reason, because I've been looking to, one, book more weddings, kind of like, or book any weddings, I guess, out in Hawaii, because it's one of the states like I haven't been to. It's really popular for destination weddings.
Yeah.
So I wanted to start kind of targeting and marketing that, but it's kind of hard to target something that you don't have any kind of work to show.
Yeah, right.
You can't SEO anything. Like there's nothing you can do without that, you know? So yeah, I found a few people that were interested in doing it. And what I did was I worked out a deal with them to where instead of paying my normal rates, they would just pay the majority of all my travel expenses and a little on top, but it wasn't nearly as much as it normally would have been. So I think I charged them like $3,000 maybe, which I guess is still really good for a wedding in general. But when you're doing a destination wedding, that's that's kind of cheap, just because of all the expenses that kind of go into it,
Of
right?
course, yeah. You want to talk about how a little bit how you said that you had like 50 couples or something in the beginning before your for your Puerto Rican for the wedding that you chose to shoot in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Like how did you find those 50 couples?
I just put the word out literally everywhere. So I put it all over social media. I literally put it on Craigslist and like any other kind of free platforms like that, you know, and just kind of start spreading the word. I wrote a blog post about it, I think. And that's pretty much it, you
Okay,
know,
so it
just
wasn't like any form to fill out. It wasn't
for on their part.
right.
Yeah, I would have, I mean, they would email me their contact information. I would chat with them and like kind of put them, you know, like I would categorize people by like one, two, three, and four, like one being the best, you know. And then once I had it up to like five, I think it was like 5 to 8, in that number one spot, then I would start going through and just choosing out of that.
Oh, I see. Okay, so just getting your name out there. Getting those inquiries, choosing a couple who's going to best fit the photography that you want to do, doing that job, doing it obviously to the best of your abilities, because photography is it's a service, it's not a product. So you give this couple great service. They have a great time, you deliver great images. What happens next?
Man, after that, obviously, I asked them for referrals and stuff if anybody else had. But really, I used all the stuff that I had. Like, all right, so now I have all these photos, so I use it for blogging and with all the focused SEO and stuff on that, so people will start finding me for like that specific location or like whatever the keywords are
Okay,
for
so
those things.
real quick, for those listening who don't know what SEO is,
Oh
search
yeah.
engine optimization, meaning that if somebody searches for,
Rico wedding.
Puerto Rico, wedding photographer, making
That's
sure that your
it.
blog post is set up in a way to where your page has a good potential of ranking for them to find you.
Exactly.
Obviously, if they find that blog post, they like your photos, there's a higher chance of them contacting you.
And that has happened actually. I booked a job in St. Croix, which is like right off of that Puerto Rican kind of area,
Oh,
you
wow,
know.
okay. What did you put in there?
I would start writing like content on destination weddings in general, obviously the Puerto Rico wedding, and other things to do with destination weddings and locations and stuff like that. So I'm just kind of creating a lot of content around that same kind of idea,
Right,
right?
right. Okay, you know
And
what? Let's take a break. Let's stop that right there. And instead of talking about destination weddings, because I think that we actually talked about that when I actually interviewed you for the podcast the first time. So let's change it up and talk about the family documentaries. So now that you've shot these families, now what are you doing?
Same thing. So, like, on my list of to-do is to start writing family-related content. That's not necessarily just all about like that particular shoot or anything, because I've already done that. But it'll be around like other things, you know, like maybe one whole blog post will be about like kind of my style and my approach to that, which I already kind of have a channel that's already kind of done sort of on my main like website page for that. But it'll be content related to that, to family stuff. And I don't specifically have ideas quite yet, but that's on the goal for this, like, you know, this winter here. So when things
But
kind of slow down.
yeah, now I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, right? Because there's a lot of people who think that shooting for free is a terrible idea. And I
Yeah,
get it for a
definitely.
few reasons. So when I first started out, that's what I wanted to do, and it was specifically to build my portfolio. I wanted to give away free engagement sessions just to get better images locally around Indianapolis so that people would see the photos and just know by looking at the photos, oh, this is Indianapolis. Know where I am so that there's not that question of where I am. At the time, I spent $700 on a Canon 40D and the Tamron 15, or not 15, 17 to 50 mil 2.8, right? I spent $700 on this, and this was like, oh my God, how are we gonna pay rent this month? You know what I mean? Like, it was crazy expensive to spend $700 on this camera. And the first thing that I started doing was shooting for free. And I remember, like I said, having this conversation with my wife, and she was like, how are you gonna pay for this camera? How are you gonna, how are we gonna make money if you're shooting for free? And that's exactly it. Like you said, it's like You have to show that you can do something before you can make money at it. You
It's
can't.
just like sales. Like if you want to sell products, like you can't sell an album or wall art if you don't have anything to show people, you know? It's the
Absolutely.
same
There's
thing.
that too. There's that too. But I think the bigger thing was is that when I was a beginner and I would look at like photographers' websites, I'd be like, "Well, how much are they charging? Oh my God, like $3,500. Like, this is great." You know what I mean? I had all the beginner, I had no idea what I was doing. I thought like, "Oh, it's only a day's worth of work for $3,500. Like, this is great."
Yeah,
You know
that's
what I
what people
mean?
think. Yeah.
Everybody thinks that. And of course, now we all know that that's not the case, but in the beginning, that's what I thought. So I thought, "Yeah, $700 camera, this will be great." I got the camera. I even built myself a website and was like, "Nobody's contacting me. Like, I don't know what to do next." So I don't know why my next reaction was, if I just shoot for free, then I can have more photos to share. And I did that, and it turned out great, right? So some of the images are actually still on my website from literally the first free shot, the free shoot that I did.
Wow, you still like him that much?
To tell you, I've had some bad engagement sessions when I first started, but that first one, really, I looked at it and was like, oh my God, like this is, I feel like I blew myself away, you know what I mean? Like it was just like beginner's luck. Like I went out there and I was like, let's try this, let's try that. And I took so many photos. I actually spent, I believe it was 3 or 4 hours with a couple, you know what I mean? Like just way too much time. So it's like in that time, I took so many photos that, yeah, a few of them turned out really good, you know what I mean? But after that session, I remember thinking, like, yeah, this is it. Now, how am I going to utilize these photos? And I had no idea. I was a terrible writer. I didn't want to write anything. And at the time, I actually wanted to like do the opposite of what every other photographer was doing. Like I didn't even want to have a website, to tell you the truth, in the beginning, because I was like, I don't want to deal with all that stuff. I didn't want to have business cards. Like I don't want to deal with all, like I'm not gonna, I don't want to network with people. Like I don't want to do any of this. Like I
It's
want to be a
like some high-end
photographer.
thing with no phone number,
Exactly. Like that's what I
no
was like. I'm
website.
gonna do things my own way, and like this is what I'm gonna do. And quickly learned like no, it doesn't work like that. Very quickly. So I had to get the website, and then I thought, okay, I'll get a website, but I'm not blogging. And then, you know, as you can imagine, no leads were coming in, no emails, no nothing. So it wasn't until like a year and a half after I had had my website that I finally decided to actually start blogging. And once I did, that's when things really picked up. So you're absolutely right about the importance of blogging and how that can get you more referrals, get you more shoots. But I think that one thing that people do wrong when it comes to blogging is that once they press publish on the blog, they think that they're done, right? And I'm
Yeah,
guilty of this
absolutely.
too. I'm so bad at writing that like the act of putting together a blog is like so much mental energy that when I press publish, I just want to be like, I'm done for the day. Like I'm not doing anything else. I'm gonna go take a nap. But like that's really when your job starts, like getting it out to as many people as possible. Because obviously the more eyes who see it, the higher the likelihood of them liking the photos and contacting you.
Yeah, I have a whole strategy that's just specifically for that. Like the whole process to go through for each time, you know?
Right. And that's smart. That's smart. I think that a lot of photographers starting off need to figure out how that's going to work best for them. But like you said, I still do free shoots as well. And it's not exactly for the same reason as you, as I don't want to shoot families. I don't want to be, how do I say this? I don't want to be a full-time photographer. Like, obviously I want photography to make my income and I want like my family to be able to, you know, live off that. And that's great. But I want to spend as little time as possible on photography to like pay attention to my family. And like, my kids are super young right now, and I really want to spend as much time with them as possible. So it's like the less time that I spend in photography, the more time that I get to spend with them. And as long as we're paying our bills, I'm happy with that. You know, I don't want to be a six-figure photographer. I don't. I can see how a lot of people do. Personally, I don't want to be one. There are two ways to bring home more money with your photography business. You either get more clients or you spend less of the money that you make. CloudSpot Studio helps you keep more of what you earn. With the lowest payment processing fees in the industry, the average photographer will save $300 annually. And that's just more money to invest in essential gear, like a new flash or a sweet camera bag. You know, one that is perfect for storing all of the wedding day snacks that you can pack. But it's not just about savings. CloudSpot Studio is designed to streamline your workflow. Easily organize shoots, send contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and you're really going to enjoy the hassle-free payments. So sign up for a free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com, and as a bonus, you're going to get access to my exclusive wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires at no additional cost. Why let fees chip away at your profits? Empower your photo journey with CloudSpot and watch your business soar.
And I think he made some pretty good points, though, especially when it comes to, like it's not just about the monetary value. And I think that's what most people overlook, you know, especially what, like the people that are against it. They're always like, well, you're bringing the industry down, you know, like your people, photography is becoming a commodity. Dude, photography has been a commodity for fucking years. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's not because of free shoots. It's because of technology is the biggest factor of it, you know? And like, people are exposed to like photography. Literally our entire day, our entire lives, it's nothing but images, you know? Marketing and billboards and magazines and computer screens and phones, like it's all visual images, you know? So it's not, I don't think the free shoots that's like quote unquote hurting the industry, you know? And I don't know if the industry is even really hurting, you know? Cause like the average cost of a wedding, for instance, in the US has gone up, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Like what's being hurt there, you know?
Yeah, and I think with, you know, maybe that was like you said, like it's all a technology thing, and you're right because, well, I guess I wasn't in the industry for, you know, 50 plus years, but
yeah, either have I.
I'm just assuming that like during the film, you know, while there was film photography and technology wasn't really advancing because a camera from 1930 still works the same as a camera from 1990. You know what I mean? But once technology really took off and more people got cameras, more people started taking photos, I can kind of see how it might have hurt the industry in the beginning. Okay, because
I think it's because it's a digital. It's not because of the camera. It's our technology. It's the digital aspect of it. You know, going from you really have to know what the hell you're doing to shoot film and like nail exposure and everything else versus shooting digitally, where you can just kind of shoot and see if it's right. Shoot, see if it's right. Shoot, see if it's right. And
right.
Take infinite number of photos and now technology has made that even cheaper to where everybody can afford a DSLR.
Yeah, like 20-plus megapixels. Like, never have to worry.
Your camera is better than, you know, most cameras, like, lower-end point shoots on the market, you know? So it shoots 4K. I mean,
yeah. Like, but I think that, like, in the beginning, maybe the value of photography would have went down for that exact reason. Because being a professional wasn't the same. However, however, now that we have... I don't know, where is that? Now that we have phones, we have iPads, we have tablets, we have...
What about this film camera?
Yeah, I'm not talking about it. We have all of these things, right? We have all of these additional screens to look at. You know, your computer, iPad, phone, right? Like, that's pretty typical for somebody to have, right? All three of those things. And we see images on all of those things. So now I think that right after digital took off, I could see how the value of photography went down. But now that we have all these screens, there's all these other photographers who can produce like incredible images. I think that the value of photography is going right back up because I can't tell you how many times I've met with a couple and they've told me like, we just want the best photos possible, implying that it's like to blow away all of our Facebook friends. You know what I mean? My first reaction is, oh, I'm not the photographer for you, because I'm not gonna want to deal with, you know, the constant, you know, I've had brides keep asking to look at the back of the camera to make sure that they like the photo, and I hate that, right? I want there to be trust, and I don't want you to worry about the photography. I want you to enjoy your wedding day, right? So
they're trying to make sure everything's like Pinterest and Instagram ready, like straight out the camera.
Right, exactly. Like, but that's it. Like, Pinterest, I would say that Pinterest and Instagram made photography more valuable because now you see a photo and you're like, oh, that's so like adorable. I want a photo just like that. So now photography has a value for that person. Whereas before, they might not have known, like, oh, a photo like that can be taken. Oh, I don't care. Like, I know that we should have probably some photographer at our wedding. We'll just hire whoever's the cheapest. You know what I mean? So I think that things are going up. So I think
Well, I would
them
say too,
giving.
like on that same point of people arguing that it's hurting the prices of photography, I would say they're looking at it wrong. Like
Yes.
they're trying to sell photography, and that's not what you're trying to sell. Like for me, I'm not selling photography. I'm selling an experience, right?
Yes.
So I'm selling a lot of intangibles for one. So it's like I'm selling the look and like my style, you know,
Yes.
I'm selling my talent, like what I bring uniquely and individually to the table that other people can't replicate because they're not me.
Right.
My ability to solve problems and to handle situations like shooting a wedding and a hurricane comes, you know,
Yeah.
like, so these are all things that I bring to the table, you know, and anybody can hire a photographer to take pictures, but it's a different thing to hire somebody specifically for the way their photos look and
Right.
the experience that they deliver as far as like their communication and like how quickly they respond to things and what they deliver as far as tangibles and stuff like that, you know? So
Yeah.
that's what needs to be sold. And I think most people that are complaining about driving down the price of photography, they're looking at it the wrong way. They're looking at it as we're selling the ability to take pictures. Well, that
Right.
shit's been done for years. You know what I'm
Yes.
saying? Like anybody can take a picture. I mean, the new iPhone, I don't know if you've seen that new X or 10 or whatever they're calling it. Phenomenal, dude. Like
Sure.
insane. Like you can change all kinds of like lighting scenarios and stuff, and it's all being done with like 3D, like VR craziness. You know,
Yeah.
it's insane. So now, or even like that bokeh like effect that's been out on the past cameras. You know, people can get that blurry background look.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, like these people can the average person, the average consumer can walk down the street and take like Instapics with the blurry background, and now they'll be able to change the lighting and all this stuff. And there's entire like fashion bloggers, like that's all they do. You
Just
know,
iPhone photos.
they have an iPhone and they shoot themselves or their friends in like these pretty outfits in the street, you know,
Right.
and like they make a full living off that. So obviously they don't need to hire a photographer for that. You know, they're using an iPhone and it's doing amazing for what it is, you know?
Right. Yeah,
So we need
but
to sell something else aside from
just the
photography.
photos. Exactly. And you can only do that. Well, I take that back. You can't only do that. But a great start to get there, to build that portfolio, to be in the position to where you know
To
how
gain the experience,
to
you
gain the
know?
experience of being a good service provider
And a problem solver. At the end of the day,
and problem solver.
that's all we're doing. As photographers, like that's literally all we're doing is solving a problem.
Yeah.
Whether it's solving a problem as far as like being thrown into all these different lighting conditions or weather conditions and other stuff and still being able to make amazing photos in those situations, because that's where like the average consumer will fail and
Yes.
fail quick, or a beginner that doesn't have that experience. Like when you get thrown in, like you go into a job thinking it's going to be one way, you get there and all of a sudden, oh, now we have to shoot in a cave, there's no light and there's a storm outside, but you still have to produce
Great
great photos.
images. Yeah.
So what are you going to do? You know, that's where the experience comes in. That's where the problem solving and all that stuff comes in. And that only comes from direct experience, not sitting behind your computer or on the keyboard, you know?
Right. I would much rather shoot for, I would much rather shoot 95% of my work for free and only get paid for 5% rather than sitting behind a computer knowing, oh man, I could take some great images if somebody would just pay me a good amount of
Yeah,
money.
no, that's like every single photo that I take, I'm getting that much better, you know? Like I think like last year I probably shot over 100,000 photos, you
Wow.
know? And that made me over 100,000 photos better, you
Right,
know?
right. And
Which is
that's
how
why,
I've gotten
so,
to the point that I'm at.
right. And I want to make the distinction of like shooting for free, where other photographers think that that's killing the industry. First of all, they're wrong. But second of all, you're not looking like you single-handedly are not going to affect the industry enough most of the times for it to change. There might be the
Yeah.
odd person who comes up with, you know, some revolutionary thing. But it's like if you think about you have to be kind of selfish and think about yourself and think about where you want to be to make yourself happy rather than trying to please every other photographer on the planet, because I'm telling you,
Yeah.
that's not possible. That's not possible. So just don't do it. Get out there.
And I would say too, if you're gonna do free stuff or like cheap stuff, you know, it has to be strategic. Like you can't just
Right.
do free stuff for the point of doing free stuff because that's not going to do anything for you. You
Yeah.
have to be very selfish with it and very particular and have a full like big picture of why you're doing it, you
And I
know?
think that's exactly what you kind of solidified in this podcast. And I'm not sure what's going on with my computer now, but I'm orange. I look like an Oompa Loompa right now.
Yeah, pretty scary.
Well, Matt, you know what? My Budweiser America Tall Boy it's empty. So you know what that means.
I don't know. Do you think we covered it all? You think that
I think that we did. I really think that like the core here was for people who want to shoot more and they're worried about shooting for free, because I remember being a beginner and thinking like, but if I shoot for free, then I'm not a real photographer. And that's bull. Like, that's ridiculous. That's the only way. That's not the only way to gain experience, but it's the fastest way to gain experience. And as long as you have a game plan to do it, to get the shots that you want to shoot the couples that you want to shoot, to then take those images that you've created after giving that, you know, family and couple.
And have a plan whatever. To do something with it.
Exactly. Giving them a great experience.
Like a marketing plan, a marketing strategy.
Do something with it, like you just said. Blog it. Make sure that blog is set for SEO. I mean, it's not going to be an overnight thing. It's never going to be an overnight thing. It's going to take a long time. But making sure that, like, you start to do it right in the first place is the key. And I think that shooting for free is okay because, you know, 2 years from now, if somebody's searching for, you know, state museum wedding and they find your website, you're not going to post all over your blog, I shot this for free while I was building my
portfolio. Exactly.
Right? Nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to care. And I think that that's just a mindset that has to be switched. And I think that we covered that. And I hope that we converted some people who were just going to sit at home wishing that they could be out there shooting but weren't because they weren't getting paid into people who were like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to contact this couple who I just saw got engaged in Facebook.
That's it.
I know this family who's the ideal family who I want to shoot more of. I'm going to contact them. I'm going to let them know, hey, you know what? I want to shoot you guys for free for the experience and do it. But small caveat, don't push yourself as a professional if you're doing it for free and you're just starting off. Let them know. Let the expectations be set.
Yeah, I was always very transparent with everybody on all that. That's a good point, yeah.
So
everything that I've ever, like, when I get to weddings, destination weddings, all that, I was very transparent with my experience and what I was trying to do and the reason why I was doing it and everything.
So there you go.
Good point.
I think that we covered it all.
All right, I guess we'll see what kind of feedback we get.
Cool.
How much hate mail you get.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, all right, Matt. Well, we should do this again sometime. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm down. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, sounds good. So did I call it? Tell me if I called it. Are you one of the photographers who were going to stay at home this weekend because nobody was going to pay you for your photography? And now are you going to actually go out there and just start shooting? Seriously, as you heard, like, this isn't just a technique for beginners. Like, I did this as a beginner, Matt did it as a beginner, but Matt still does it, and so do I. Like, but it's for a different reason. It's to break into new markets. It's to build a portfolio in a different direction. So I want to hear your thoughts if that is going to be you. And if it is, which I really hope so, let me know by joining the Facebook group. Go ahead and email us at beginnerphotographypodcast@gmail.com. Ask for a link to join the Facebook group, and I will give you access right away where you are going to be able to hang out with other like-minded listeners just like yourself, just trying to grow your photography, have some fun, and take a few good photos. And that's all that I got for today. So until next week, I will see you then. But get out there, keep shooting, have fun, enjoy yourself, and just be safe. All right, love y'all. See you next week. Later.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. Be sure to join the conversations on Facebook and Instagram. And if you want any links or resources we talked about in today's episode, check out the show notes at beginnerphotographypodcast.com. See you again next week.